Hello, everyone, and welcome back to BoJack Horse Pod Presents Tuca and Bird Pod. Today, we will be talking about Season 3, Episode 5 of Tuca and Birdie, Salad Days. I'm your host, Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by the lovely Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm great. This was a fun episode, a real rebound after last week, I think. Very, very fun.
Very much so. Very, very much better. Very much had a plot.
That wasn't about raking leaves.
And I mean, last week was about raking leaves, but it wasn't really about raking leaves, but it was also not about anything.
Indeed. How are you? How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I'm like, you know, I was sick in December and then I kind of like rebounded last week. So I've been a bit congested, but I'm still like, I don't feel sick. Yeah. I'm just congested and it's like moved out of my chest into my head. I don't know, but I've been doing neti pot. So
yes, I've been talking about you as a neti pot evangelist.
I am a neti pot evangelist. I think it works so, and that's the other problem too, is it's like I feel congested one day, so then I neti pot and that kind of just like gets everything moving, so then you feel more congested, but it's actually good. Next time you're sick, I'm going to get you onto the lymphatic drainage massage. I've discovered perfect way to massage your face to things moving. No, it's amazing. It feels so good.
The word drainage, very off-putting.
Well, but that's like everything drains, you know?
Yeah.
And then I only realized this year, this is probably gross. I'm sorry to the people that are grossed out by this. I only realized in 2023 that like you're basically, you pee everything out. Like, yeah, that's where everything exits.
Yeah.
Because Hank Green posted that, like, when you have chemotherapy, you pee the cancer out after. And then I was like, oh, that's, like, anything. Like, when you, like, have lymphatic drainage, that's ultimately going to make its way to your pee. It just never occurred to me. My mind was blown.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful. Anyways, how are you? Are you better? Are you free of the shackles of COVID?
I think I'm at like 98%, I would say. I'm still waking up in the morning being like, ugh, still gotta like blow my nose and stuff. But other than that, symptom free, been off the NyQuil for a week. That's usually my barometer for how well I am. It's like, can I sleep through the night?
I never can sleep through the night. Do you sleep through the night every night?
Not every night.
You don't wake up?
I sleep very well.
Like, do you ever wake up? Do you wake up to pee?
Sometimes. There was a stretch for like a couple weeks where I was waking up every single night and I was like, is this just my life now? I have to wake up to pee. But then that has gone away, thankfully.
That's pretty much every night for me since birth.
You drink a ton of water, though. I feel like you're extremely hydrated.
I have been not so hydrated lately, TBH.
Yeah. I see you going with that like gallon jug in your screen.
It's not a gallon jug. It's 30 ounces.
What's a gallon?
I'm pretty 64. Sure. I'm sorry. You're asking me about empirical measurements on a Saturday morning? I don't.
You're the one who threw in the 30 ounces.
Because it's a Stanley. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much worse it could be? It could be a 40. I could be a drug addict.
How much water in a gallon? 128? My God.
Yeah.
Horrifying. All right. That's a very reasonable bottle you have.
4 of these would make a gallon.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of those.
But aren't we supposed to drink like a gallon of water a day?
I don't think that's true.
That's what all those 75 hard people are doing. Lindsay, do you know what 75 hard is?
No, but I can imagine that these people who are like in the pocket of big water.
Oh, no, it's so much worse than that. Oh, my God. OK, this is great. This is a great tangent, especially because like it's the new year. So people are doing all of their like New Year's resolutions and all this. And I have been seeing so many people doing 75 hard. So 75 hard is about like they say it's about like your mind and having control over your brain and everything like that. But it's like very clearly a
health
eating and workout thing, because the rules are follow a diet. It doesn't have to be any specific one, but it's like you pick your diet and you have to stick to it for 75 days, no cheat days.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do 2 45-minute workouts every single day. And one of those workouts has to be outside.
Okay.
You have to take a progress picture every day.
Oh my
But
God.
yeah, it's definitely about your mental fortitude, right? You have to drink 1 gallon of water a day. And you have to read 10 pages of a book. Audiobooks are not included. And I'm pretty sure the book has to be like a self-help book.
Okay. Well, yeah, I Googled it and what comes up is a tactical guide to winning the war with yourself. And I say, this is a cult.
I don't know if it's a cult, but it's definitely got some cult-like elements. And
Yes.
so you do this, right? But if you mess up one day, oh, you eat a cookie and that's not in your diet, or you one of your workout or you only do one workout, or you both your
They're both
workouts are
indoors.
indoors, or you forget to take a progress picture, or you don't finish your, like, you'll see 75 hard people, they're walking around with literally a fucking gallon milk bottle full of water all day, and they're like, yeah, I gotta drink my water.
God.
And if you miss one day, you start over at day one tomorrow, and you
Wow.
have to keep going till you do 75 in a row.
Wow, disgusting. I hate that. I
Yeah,
also
me
hate the idea.
too.
Just the image, just the like phrasing of winning the war with yourself. I hate that very, very much. Science
Oh, it's
Versus did a good
just.
episode about drinking the gallon of water, and they were like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit.
Wait, who did an episode?
Science Versus.
Science versus. I don't know what that is.
Podcast.
I
Very good.
figured, but like, I've never listened to it. A podcast I really like, which is called Fit Literate, has done an episode on that. And that's a great podcast. Honestly, if you like maintenance phase, you would probably like Fit Literate is like a more chatty and more fitness focused version, because the both of the hosts are personal trainers, and so they like come at it from a lens of like, we want people to move, but we want them to move in a way that's healthy to them and won't like give
Right.
them an eating disorder.
Won't make
So
them feel like they're at war with their own bodies.
exactly. So that's a really great episode if you wanted to listen to it. But
Yeah. Good, good.
anyways, should we tell people what time it is right now?
What time is it?
Yes, we should. We have a very exciting additional
Yes,
element today,
we
so
do.
let's do
So
it.
it is Saturday, January 13th, 2024. It's 10:33 a.m. in the Pacific time zone where I am, 1:33 p.m. in New York / Eastern time zone, 2:33 p.m. where Lindsay is in the Atlantic time, 6:33 p.m. in London, and it is 2:33 a.m. on Sunday, January 14th in Hong Kong. Not the time it is right now.
Incredible. Now people know about the Atlantic time zone.
Well, I mean, we've been saying it
I
every
know.
time too. So like, I don't
Yes.
know. I said it last week. I said the time zone while we did What Time Is It? And it just like
Yes.
didn't click for
Yeah.
Sam. But it's
Maybe Sam was
okay.
like, that's not a time zone. Kirsten must be wrong.
Yeah, Sam's like, okay, she's wrong. It's a cultural exchange.
Yeah.
So here is the true joy, is we now know when these episodes are going to be released. So
Yes.
we can go back to what day is it today?
Yes.
But we have an extra special element because it's going to go out on a different day for the patrons
Ooh.
than the Gen Pop. So for
The
the so for the patrons, it's coming out on February 19th,
Gen
2024, a Monday, because we're releasing the expanded episodes for the patrons
Yes,
one
the
day
producer's cut.
earlier. Yes, the producer's cut. And so on February 19th, it will be International Tug of War Day.
Okay.
I don't think that's real. It is also on a big downer note. It's really a back and forth for February 19th. It's also Iwo Jima Day,
Whoa.
which
Wow, real roller
that's a
coaster of
real
a
day.
day.
That one's a real day. It's also National Arabian Horse Day.
Okay.
That's so
So
fitting for our network.
we can go to Horse World or Horse Town or
You go to
Horseville. Is that what it
Horse
was?
Town, yeah. Horseville, horse. It's what Tuka loves. You can go there.
Yes, she loves it.
It's National Chocolate Mint Day. It's National Lash Day, like eyelashes.
Oh, all right. So celebrate your eyelashes, I guess.
Yes, it's National Vet Girls Rise Day, which is like about veterans that are girls, I think.
Not
I don't
like
really
veterinarians.
know. No, there's a woman in combat, so I think it's veterans.
Okay,
It's also
right.
President's Day in America, and it is Prevent Plagiarism Day.
All right.
important every day, but I would also argue more important is to consider why people are suddenly going after people for plagiarism.
Something
that
to
is
think
not
about.
Significant. Just something to think about.
Just something to think about. Why do you care all of a sudden?
Yeah. Why does a billionaire whose wife has also done plagiarism suddenly care about the president of Harvard's insignificant plagiarism from years ago? It's just
asking
something
questions.
to think about.
Yes, beautiful.
Amazing. So it is also for everyone else, it's coming on February 20th.
Yes.
Which is Clean Out Your Bookcase Day.
Yeah.
So if you have extra books, you got to get rid of them. I have a stack of books behind me.
Right,
those are all books that I was going through my shelf and picking out which are the ones I haven't read yet so that I can read them and probably get rid of most of them. So
yes.
I don't think I'll be doing that by February 20th, but...
Yes, but you could donate or give away the ones that you are finished with.
Yes, exactly. I do like to reread books, so I do keep some
Me
of them,
too.
But
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Do you even have any belongings? You've been zip-zopping across the country. Do you own any books?
Very few now. Drastically fewer than I used to. That was like one of the biggest things that I got rid of before I moved across the country the first time and then got
You
rid of
didn't
even
buy
more on the
any.
way back. No,
Yeah.
didn't buy any.
Do you like fantasy novels?
I used to. I have not read a fantasy novel in a long time, but do you have a recommendation for me?
Well, I'm not done the book, so I don't want to fully recommend, but I'm reading like
Soft recommendation.
it's an extremely popular book. Like I'm very late to the game reading A Court of Thrones and Roses, ACOTAR. It's
Court of Thrones.
It's like extremely popular and I'm always very hesitant about fantasy, so I was like didn't want to read it, but Tori, my friend who has a podcast, Ready to Be Petty, has just started a romance novel podcast called Ready to Be Romanced.
Oh,
and
fun.
It's the first book that she's talking about. So I was like, fine, I'll finally read this effing book that everybody talks about. Fine. And okay, listen, I started it 2 days ago and I'm two-thirds of the way down the book. And it is not a short book.
Wow. So I feel like we always like reading these like parent guides. So I typed A Court of Thorns and Roses. And the first thing that came up is like, people also ask, is A Court of Thorns and Roses inappropriate?
I don't
And
think a child should read it.
The response says, there is quite a bit of language, 13% of pages, and some gruesome violence. All in all, it's probably not as bad as some video games out there, but not appropriate for young teens.
Why do you always look at the parent guide? You're grown.
That thing that, remember we used to find all those ones
Oh,
that were like,
right.
this
Yeah, the
has something,
movies.
something. Yeah,
Yeah,
but the
you're
movies,
right.
yes.
So
Yeah.
right.
It might be
Yeah,
on the
so
Patreon.
it is definitely on the Patreon. I'm not done yet, so I'm not like, oh, this is amazing. But people, the girlies freaking love this series. Like, I think there's like four or five books and this
All
is
right.
the first one. But I think like what's known about it is that it's like a horny book. And like, I don't want to read a horny book. Like that's not why I read romance novels. I actually think there's more to romance than being horny. I don't know. It's just me.
Scorching hot take.
But like the first book at least has been like a very slow burn, and you actually like believe that they have feelings for each other, which a lot of romance novels don't do well. So it's a soft recommendation.
All right, good.
Anyways, it's also Love Your Pet Day.
Okay, we support that.
A great day for you to bring home a new cat.
Yes, true.
It'd be a great
All
day.
right, I'll tell Cam. We have
tell Cam
6 weeks.
It's happening.
Get a cat.
Sorry. It's also National Cherry Pie Day. I won't be partaking. I'm not a
Me either.
pie
I like
person.
cherry flavored things, really.
I like cherry candy.
Yeah, not for me.
It's National Comfy Day. I will be partaking in that.
Yes, partake every day.
I love to be comfy. It's National Handcuff Day. I will not be partaking.
I have no words.
It's just like, I guess it's the day that the patent was granted for the existence of handcuffs. So we're going to celebrate that. That's wild.
Yeah, wild stuff.
It's National Leadership Day.
All right, well, we always celebrate that.
Yeah, we are
natural
leaders
leaders
in the podcasting realm. It's National Muffin Day.
Okay,
fine. I love muffins. They're fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll eat a muffin, but like,
That's how I feel too. They're fine.
I just feel like they put too much stuff in the, like, I just want a cupcake, truly. I don't
Yes.
want, like, even if it's chocolate chips, like, I don't want the chunks of chocolate chips. Like, just give me the
The
batter
cupcake.
part, the
Yes.
regular part. Yeah.
Hard agree.
But yes, okay. That's what day it is. Isn't that great to bring back what day it is? It makes the podcast so much longer.
One of the longer segments we've had in a while.
Well, because now there's 2 days.
That's right. It's true.
It's so special.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So, salad days.
Salad
What did you
days.
think of this episode?
I really like this episode. That's very fun. I do think it's again a very thin Tuca one, but I at least thought the
Yes.
Tuca one was entertaining. The stuff about Winter Garcia and Pastry Pete and Birdie, all that stuff, I thought was actually really good. One of the things that I kind of assumed it would be about, I was like, oh, this is going to be an episode about like Pastry Pete is going to want Winter Garcia to participate and she's going to go and sabotage him. But instead, it was like, I think a much more nuanced take about like intergenerational feminism and like, I had to go through this, so maybe you have to go through it, and maybe like suffering is noble or something. And I think that that's a much more interesting story. And that's why I am not a writer on this show.
Well, you could be, maybe.
Maybe. It's too bad it's canceled. I will never know.
Damn it. I really do want the show to come back. I'm pretty bummed about it being canceled.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, we move. Life happens.
Life goes on.
We do what we can. Okay, so yeah, I really liked it. I do think it was nice to have a con like a plot line with some real meat to dig into that we could go through it versus, you know, last week, which was pretty thin. I wonder if they could have made, I just want last week to have been better, but we can't go back. It's fine. So it's, you know, the episode is called Salad Days, but
Yes.
ironically, it's Yeast Week.
It's yeast week. Baking, 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 baking.
Yes, I love that it starts with the musical number. We see people singing at the fountain, which Birdie did at her first Yeast Week, and that's when Pastry Pete was like, "Oh, everyone sings at the fountain."
Yeah. Everyone has like a special moment. Yes, very good. I definitely, when we first started this, did not think that yeast week would be an annual tradition that we deal with every season, but it's fun. It's good.
I love that it is. Pastry Pete is back to reclaim his place in baking society.
Yes. Birdie's going to show off her salads that she came up with while she was in the snake.
Yes, and at first everyone's just singing along, and then the opening credits end when Tuca just closes the window,
Yeah.
goes back to sleep, and then it goes to the credits.
Yes, I liked that a lot where everyone's doing like baking, 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 and then she closes the window, just slams it down, and it shuts everybody up.
Yeah, it's like enough. We've had enough. So Birdie, as you said, is going to be launching the Sweet Beak Salads. She's with Chef Wintergreen and Jamie, the cat. We finally have his name in this
Yes.
episode.
Yes, he sometimes goes days at a time without saying anything.
It's who he is. It's fine. And so they're like getting all of the little Sweet Beak Salads ready, which they seem to be like a pretty extravagant dessert.
Yes, big time. We had seen Birdie like 2 episodes ago trying to make things that look like kale or something, and it's really difficult and she's really struggling. And then here we see that she has like nailed it. She's got all these little things that she's done. She's like been zesting stuff. It looks like there's just tons of components to this. It seems extremely time consuming and inefficient, but she's very proud of what she has done.
Well, and it's good to bring to Yeast Week. Hopefully they can figure out how to make it a little bit easier,
Yes.
you know, from there. So during this, like, she's getting everything ready, and there's kind of a funny scene where Chef Wintergreen is like, "Oh no, a news article. Jammy beans are the new cigarettes." And Birdie just like immediately removes them all from all of the salads.
Yeah, like she throws them out the window and some kid goes to eat them, and this like Joe Camel kind of guy comes up and is like, no, just say no to jammy beans.
Yeah, they're gone. Goodbye. And they like, the kid like tries to eat them off the sidewalk, and like
Yes.
Coolio's like, "No, you can't have
No.
them. They're like cigarettes."
Yes, exactly.
And so they are like getting everything ready in like the convention center for the opening of Yeast Week. And Birdie is just talking so much shit about Pastry Pete to Chef Winter Garcia.
Yes. Yeah, she's like, his food looks like it's sweating. He made a pastry in his own image, sweaty and full of shit. Am I right?
Well, and Chef Winter is also talking shit about the
Yes.
sweaty pastries and like going along with what Birdie is saying also, which is almost perfect because it really sets up where the rest of the episode is going. And I also think it provides more context of like how toxic the professional like chef and cooking industry really can be.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, and we get like a little, at this point, it's sort of like a throwaway, but it's going to come back later where they're like, oh my God, it's such a normie idea of artisanal baking or whatever. And Winter Garcia is like, well, normie's like my stuff too. It's like, okay, sorry, shouldn't have said that.
And also, like, I'm sorry, look at Birdie. That's a
Yeah,
normie if I've
she's,
ever seen one. Like, what are you
yes.
talking about that you think you're so great and different?
Yes, a real normie if we've ever seen one. Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. And I don't think that it's an insult to be normie.
Yeah, agreed. You would think Birdie would be happy to be a normie.
Well, I think that about baking specifically, she's very
Yes.
pretentious about her
That's
skills.
true.
Yeah, I think it's only in baking where she would have this.
Yes.
How do we want to handle the
I've split
Birdie
them
and
up into
Tuca?
Birdie and Tuca stories separately.
Should we
Is
do
that
Tuca first or Birdie first?
we can stick with Birdie and then it intersects with Tuca.
Sounds good to me. People love the salads. I feel like they sell out really quickly. And at the end of the day, Chef Winter is like, oh, we want to tweak this one thing, but overall, everything went really well. Like, this is great.
Yes, the candied tuna was a miss, but the cheesecake eggs were a hit. And I think this is further like, oh my God, how much time did this take you? And how much are you selling these for? Because it seems like it's not enough.
Right? Like, I feel like these would be very expensive. Like, my impression though of the like Sweet Beak brand is that this would all be switched into like powdered components and people would like add the egg and milk and make it themselves at home, which is like, that's great. Like, I'm nothing against a box cake. Honestly, maybe I'll go buy one today and make some cake. Like, that sounds delicious. I'm kind of craving a cupcake after we talked about the
Yes,
muffins.
always.
But that's like a really complicated thing to make at home as well. Like, I feel like this is the type of dessert that they'd be like, oh yes, we're at a Michelin star restaurant and they've
Right,
made this dessert that is so complicated.
yeah, like I was picturing these like winter snacks or whatever as these kind of shelf stable like little Debbie type products, and I don't know, either way it feels like, yeah, exactly what you're saying, like this is more of a fancy restaurant dessert than a shelf stable or make yourself product.
Yeah, like it doesn't look shelf stable to me. How's it
Not at
got
all.
cheesecake in it if it's shelf stable?
Exactly. Yep.
And this is where Birdie gets a call from a reporter. It's like a wolf reporter.
Yes. And Pastry Pete is back and he's opening a new bakery and starting a female mentorship program.
The like so feral groan I let out at that. Like, okay, yeah, he's coming back, whatever. But when it's like, oh yeah, he's starting a female mentorship and empowerment, like, absolutely not. But Birdie goes off and she really like drags Pastry Pete to hell and back again.
Yes.
And then is like, yeah, and Chef Winter Garcia also like agrees.
Yes, when she said that, I was like, no, Birdie, no. You can't just throw her under the bus like that.
Well, and that's what I thought was going to be the like main conflict of the episode, but then it's not.
Yeah, no, shocking stuff. But this guy says, I got me a headline for Breadline right before my deadline. So.
Yes. And Birdie's like, no, that was off the record. Like, we were just talking as friends, right? And the reporter says, I'm a reporter. My only friends are getting laid off in the truth.
So good. A perfect
Which I
line.
laughed really hard at. So after she like gives her little statement, Birdie kind of is like, I don't know. It's like the next day, like the story has come out, and Chef Winter Garcia read it, and she
Yeah.
loves it. She's like, "Oh, you like roast him for the perfect like temperature and duration."
Yes, exactly. And in between, she introduces Birdie to Mr. Birdley, who is the owner of the largest grocery store in Birdtown. And he's like, oh, I think your salads will sell great at our store. And Birdie's like, the normies are going to love them. Am I right? And he's just like, pardon me. We call our customers complexies.
So stupid. And I also think it's funny that they're making fun of the grocery store being called Birdly Wordly. When, yes. Of course, we live in a world where there is a grocery store called Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And Birdie's like very apologetic about the quote and also about saying normies. So kind of feeling like two strikes, but Winter doesn't mind the thing about pastry Pete.
Yeah. Chef Winter's like, no, it's okay. Like you didn't go too far. You did it. You like dragged him to perfection. You know what? Take the rest of your day off. Enjoy Yeast Week. Like have some fun, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And so Birdie's just kind of walking around Yeast Week and she's imagining her dream life. She's imagining opening a restaurant. She then goes to a point where she's like imagining herself as a baby and Chef Winter as like the mom, like breastfeeding the baby, which I'm pretty sure birds don't do that.
Birdie's like, oh my God, too far. No, no.
Yeah. And so when she shakes herself awake in that moment, she sees Chef Winter going into the bread bowl and meeting Pastry Pete for dinner. It turns out Pastry Pete and Chef Winter Garcia are friends.
Yeah, the betrayal. And she just immediately like runs in there in disguise to see what they're talking about.
Yeah, and what did you think of Birdie's disguise? She put like a pretzel over her face and like a mustache.
Yeah, it actually works pretty well when she has the menu in front of her face where it kind of looks like little ears or something, but not a perfect disguise.
Not a perfect disguise, but she doesn't get seen. Yeah. And Pastry Pete is basically talking to Chef Winter about how, you know, the young people in the industry, they always take things so personally and they take everything that upsets them to social media and they're just so ready to ruin everything. And specifically tells her to watch out for Birdie Song Thrush.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very bad. And that's when Birdie's just like, yeah, like she starts freaking out and then it cuts to her just like lying awake looking very, very stressed out.
Yes. Then it goes to Pastry Pete's new patisserie.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is made of bread.
Yes.
And this is where we intersect with Tuca's storyline.
Yes, briefly. There's like a combo thing, but because we also get the moment where Birdie's going to like confront Winter about it first before they get there.
Oh, is that what happens first? Take me through it, Lindsay.
So, yeah. So they get to the store and Winter is like, normally you love corny wordplay. Like, why aren't you interacting with me? And she's like, we need to talk about this. Why are you working with Pastry Pete? And she says, well, was the largest pile of trash not available? And Winter Garcia is going to say, like, it's not my fault that you basically put me on a pedestal and project all these expectations onto me. It's going to further my career if I work with Pastry Pete. And I didn't ask to be fawned over by you.
She says, I'm just some lady.
Yeah, you see the world black and white. Everyone's either your perfect idol or completely evil and they don't deserve to live anymore.
Yeah, and then it's like, and this is happening like as they set up, as like it's just like you can tell this is a really long conversation that's going and we're only getting snippets of it. Mm-hmm. And Winter is also like, oh, and don't post any of this on social media, which I was like, okay, I don't think you actually had to say that.
Yes, agreed.
Moment, but
okay. I do like Birdie's heart screaming at her where she's like, she's right, you have a very binary worldview.
Yes, and they get a moment where Chef Wintergreen's heart is like,
yeah, because she says, you think anyone who grabs your feathers at work is a dangerous pervert? And Birdie's like, why would anyone need to do that? And then her heart's like, maybe you're right.
Like, fair, maybe you don't need to be sexually assaulted at work. Interesting.
Yeah, and Birdie's like, he's just using you to legitimize him and you're making him more powerful. And anyway, yeah, like you said, it just goes on for a while of like,
yeah. And it goes into like, I was really surprised because I feel like we didn't have a good sense of how old Chef Wintergreen was until this point. And they really leaned hard, like, no, she's a boomer.
Yes.
Like full boomer in this episode. And she's talking about all the horrible things she's had to deal with and how it's so horrible. And Birdie's like, wait, you came out of that with no lasting damage? And Chef Wintergreen's like, burns and like scars are part of the industry. And then gives her phone, like, can you block yourself on social media? Because I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, she said, like, your generation has no resilience. Like, people my age are tough. And yeah, I really liked that from Birdie being like, wait, sorry, you're telling me that you went through all this bullshit and you're totally fine. Like, nothing, you have no scars from that. And I also like it from Birdie too, where her heart is screaming at her, like, you're gonna lose your dream job, stop. Like, we know that Birdie is a big people pleaser, and this sort of confrontation is really hard for her. So very proud of our girl.
Yes, proud of her. I do think that just considering how boomer Chef Winter is, like it maybe could have been a more professional conversation,
Yes,
but
definitely.
it's also really hard because, like, it's just so on Birdie's heart because she was treated so horribly by Pastry Pete, right?
Yes, agreed.
So it's a tough situation. And this is where, after like Birdie is complaining to Jamie, like, oh, this is my dream job and I should just quit. And the cat says, no, I can see the general shape of people. You're not the shape of a quitter.
You're the shape of a mini fridge, and they break down, but they don't quit, and you break down every day.
Yeah, that's why I love you. You break down every day. And so, okay, then it goes to
Yes.
Pastry Pete's opening. The building's made completely out of bread. And that's where we go to the Tuca storyline.
Yes.
So Tuca apparently still works for the duck tour guide company. We haven't seen anything about it, but apparently she still does.
Yes, and the duck boat isn't sick anymore, but now she's wild.
That's a good impression. And Tuca like see, and then Tuca literally is like, if I keep telling you, if you have too much money, just give it to me, which is so relatable.
Yeah, stop pouring it into these
Literally.
ducks. And he's like, oh my God, I gave her everything she wanted, including a new sports car, which she stomped on because it was the wrong color.
Yeah, just wild. And Tuca like catches, like locks eyes with the duck and then is like, I can tame it. And the cat's like, no, you can't tame a wild animal just because you think you had like a moment of connection. She's like, no, I can do this.
Like, as everyone thinks, just because they feel a special connection, the beast will let itself be tamed.
So stupid. And so then Tuca's trying to tame the duck. The duck won't let her into the boat part. And it literally like keeps bucking her off. She's fully nude. And then Speckle arrives because Speckle is in this episode.
Yeah, so he has zero reaction to the fact that she's nude. He's just going to be like, seems like you're having problems with this duck.
Yeah, it seems like you're having duck problems. He's got a hot dog. Then there's like a whole thing about like Tuca's mad that Speckle's in like the cool part of town.
Yeah, shouldn't you be working in the nerd district?
Which I feel like architects are like, it's isn't like a cool profession, or is that like a nerd profession?
Maybe both.
Maybe nerds can be cool. And Speckle says, hey, I just noticed you're having duck problems. I'm really good with ducks because I was in an all-duck fraternity called Delta Delta Goose.
He was really good at waddling, so they let him in, and yeah, their chant is very nerdy. It says that they're the only frat that gets all A's. Their feathers are fine as hell.
DDG.
Exactly.
And then Tuca's like, this is the first time I'm proud to call you my best friend's current boyfriend.
Yes. The current boyfriend, so good.
It's like, okay. Well, that's what you're gonna call him. Okay. And so they're like kind of just experimenting, trying to figure out like what the duck needs. And Tuca's like, oh, I realized it. He's scared. I kick stuff when I'm scared too. And then we get a whole montage of Tuca getting scared and kicking things. I liked when she kicked the ghost, and I really liked when she kicked the melon because it was so expensive.
Yeah, so pricey. Yeah, very
I
good.
wish I
The
could
ghost
keep the
really made me
expensive
laugh. He's
groceries.
like,
Yeah.
woo. Yeah, it was great.
And Speckle's like, I know exactly what you need to do. You need to step on me. And then he talks about how ducks are a hierarchy type animal, and then it'll work. And so Tuca steps on him, and then the duck steps on him, and then the duck is good.
Yes, yeah. Just like absolutely smashes the shit out of Speckle.
Yeah, poor
Yep.
Speckle. He goes through a lot in this episode.
But then, like, in the next scene, Speckle is walking along and he's like, Tuca and Speckle and Ducky Day. And Tuca's doing great with the duck now. So much progress.
Yes, but then they pull up on Patisserie Pete's new all bread patisserie, and the duck eats it, and it's we don't see how, but like it basically is like you see the all bread building, you see the duck, and then it like fades to black and comes back. There's like a fire truck. There's a woman like trapped between two slices of bread. And she's like, help, I'm a sandwich.
Yeah. And they're like, that was super hilarious. And then the, I don't know, police officer or inspector or something is like, here's your problem. This building was eaten by a duck.
Love that. Like, thanks. We couldn't have possibly figured that out.
Yes.
The building is gone. And Pastry Pete is furious and he demands that the duck be killed.
Yes, this was going to be the headquarters of his new women mentorship program, and the only restitution is if my pillow comes directly from this duck's carcass.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
You're a bird too, Pete. Like, what the
Yeah.
hell?
A bad bird.
Tuca doesn't want this to happen. She does not want the duck to be killed. So she's like, Speckle, tie us to the duck. Speckle doesn't want to do it. He's like, oh, that rope looks real itchy. Like, I want to go home. She's like, there's a hierarchy. Goes me, the duck, this itchy rope, and then you. So tie us up. And he does it.
I laugh so hard at that. Like, this itchy rope being third. so good.
And why is the rope so itchy?
Yeah. Whose feet are webbed as hell?
Yeah, so Speckle does the like DDG dance formation and brings all the other ducks in and they dance and it's so cool. And the owner's like, oh man, this duck is gonna make me so much money. And I'm gonna spend it on even wilder and sicker ducks. Me having wilder money is a bad idea.
So good.
He really should not have money.
It's beautiful.
Where did his money come from?
Yeah, good question. How did he get it in the first place? We could get all these ducks.
But I would love to know that. I'd like his backstory a little bit.
Yes, me too.
So Birdie is still walking around, and this is when she gets to the like broken bread building. Mm-hmm. And I guess Pastry Pete is still gonna do his little press conference. Mm-hmm. And it's the launch of his female empowerment program, and he is being so weird and like he like brings up one of the like young women and they're like, yeah, well, I just got out of culinary school and I'm really broke and I'm so hungry. And he's like, oh, I've got lots of warm baguettes for you. And it's like,
he's okay, like rubbing her shoulders while he says it. And she's just uncomfortably laughing. It's very, very bad. Very uncomfortable.
He's still a creep. Still sucks. Big time. And he's being super, super weird and gross. I don't really want to get into his direct quotes because they made me annoyed. And yes. During this, Birdie gets a call from the reporter again. Mm-hmm. And he wants to verify a quote for a story. And the quote is Chef Winter giving her full credit for the sweet beak salad.
Yes, they were the highlight of East Week.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, wow, that's so nice. And Chef Winter Garcia is right there. And she's like, yeah, it is. She's like, well, did you give the quote before or after the fight? And she's like, after. She's like, that's even nicer.
Yes, and she says that Birdie is brave for telling her what she thought. Oh, that's nice.
Yes, and she's like, and Birdie's like, okay, well, you better get up there. Like, you're missing your time. And Chef Winter's like, no, I decided, fuck him. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't go up. And as a result, we get Pacer P being like, well, I guess I'm the only chef that cares about women.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Winter Garcia is like, I'm thinking about what he said, and I don't want to give my name to help clean his, and maybe I don't know everything about people your age.
Yeah. And they basically agree that it's a complicated matter and that talking face to face was definitely the best thing to do. And it's like they've kind of resolved their issues. And then Tuca swoops in on the duck and saves all of the young women from
Pastry Pete. This is an emergency evacuation.
Like one of them goes, it's an ejaculation.
Yeah. Yes. And Chef Winter is like, oh, that's nice. Like, she'll teach them to bake now. And Birdie's like, no, she won't.
No, that's not a baker. Mm-hmm. And Speckle's like, can I go home? And Tuca's like, sorry, like, these women need confidence. And so then they all stomp on Speckle to end the episode.
Cruelty is empowering.
Yeah, not the best message for the end of the episode, but that's okay. And then we do get a post-credit scene of Birdie's old boss at Condé Nast walking into her office. Like, he's like calling her, like, when are you coming back from your sabbatical? Like, we're keeping your desk nice and warm for you. Mm-hmm. Like a bird, like, sitting on it.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks angry about it.
Yeah, she's on desk duty. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yes.
And that's it. That's season 3, episode 5.
Yeah, very fun. I really like this one. Did you like this one?
Yeah, I like this one. I think they did a pretty good job of bringing some nuance to the conversation of like different waves of feminism interacting and, you know, mm-hmm. how you can communicate between the two and figure out how to move forward together. They didn't really come to a resolution, but I don't think there is like one resolution to this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just interesting to think about that idea of like, well, if I had to go through it, then everyone should have to. And just the idea of them having a conversation of like, no, not necessarily. Like, things don't have to be bad for us just because they were bad for you. So
yes,
I like that.
That's definitely some growth. So I do like that. And Our next week is going to be a really special episode. We're going to be joined by Maddie Fresh, Moat Gregorian, back again to talk to us about an episode that he specifically picked. I'm pretty sure he's actually watched like all of Too Good Birdie too, so he has all the context, which is great. And the episode is called Screech Leeches, and it's, I think, my favorite.
Yes,
from this season. For sure.
Very good. It's the only one that is easily accessible on all like cable packages. And yeah, it's great.
Yes. Highly recommend that people check that out if they haven't been watching and just have been listening along. That one's easy to find. So yes, definitely go listen to that. And in the meantime, if you want to hear more from Lindsay, you can go listen to the podcast of tomorrow where she's breaking down Futurama. You can go find The Simpsons Then and Now on Spotify exclusively. And you can go check out any of her podcasts over on Post Show Recaps, including What We Do in the Shadows, which I think a new season is coming soon of that. So
I want to say like July, probably.
That's so soon. And if you want to hear more from me, you can listen to Mess Magnets every week, where Sasha Joseph and I are breaking down pop culture, celeb gossip, and trending topics, as well as you can check out the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed, where I'm pretty sure by February something will be happening, but I don't know what. So I don't want to say for sure here. And Lindsay and I, oh, and you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What. If you want to reach out to us to talk about anything, to convert you BoJack Horseman, like all that stuff, you can email us bojackhorsepod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at bojackhorsepod. And Lindsay and I will be back next week to talk about season 3, episode 6, Screech Leeches.
Bye.